Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson, and I'm joined each week by young readers from across the area to talk about books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. This week, due to the holidays, we were not able to get together to prepare a show, so we're going to play a throwback episode today for you. The following episode was recorded in February of 2012 with hosts Maddie Gunter, Antonia Bellamy Talbot, and Quinn Gunter, and myself. And we hope you'll enjoy the show.
Catskill and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haynes Falls. I'm 11 years old.
We had a little technical difficulty there. This is Bound by Books.
Yay!
WGXC. Woo! I'm Emily. I'm an adult that fixed the technical difficulty, but also probably caused it.
Oops. Yeah. Well, you fixed it, so.
I'm Maddie. I'm 11 years old as well, and I'm from Caro. Quinn, Antonia, Emily, and I are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading, but today's different.
Today's different. Today we're talking about all
poems.
That other good stuff.
Yeah. Still writing.
Poems.
Yeah.
We love poems.
So today on Bound by Books, we're going to share some poems, either ones we wrote or ones that we found interesting or ones from the Shel Silverstein or...
A lot of Shel Silverstein poems.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I didn't think to bring any of his, but I do have other poems.
That's okay. Yeah. Quinn and I both brought a book, and Antonia said she was going to bring one too.
Yeah.
And we have some audio of Shel Silverstein reading his own poems that we can play too.
Mm-hmm.
And just so everyone out there knows, we had a very kind listener who had heard a poetry show before and requested that we do it again. So just so you know, we listen to you too. We listen to our listeners.
Yeah.
So if you hear something you like on the show and you want to hear more, feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
Call in the studio.
So we like all stuff, mostly. Mostly, yeah. Mostly.
We can't promise we'll do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
But poetry's awesome, so.
It's true. Yeah. And the first time we did a poetry show, I don't think we were on air yet.
I don't know. We may have done it once on air.
Really?
Huh.
Who knows? Mm. But we read some great poems, and today we're going to read some more.
Yep.
I think Maddie is ready. She has a poem in her hand.
Yeah.
Well, this poem, we read at a workshop that we did, well, some that you could have come do about the radio, by, I don't know,
Karen.
Karen?
Karen Michelle.
Karen Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this poem she brought in, and I liked it, so here goes. It's called Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You might have heard of it. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
Who's that one by?
It's called Wild Geese, and it's by Mary Oliver.
What do you like about that poem?
I don't know. It has a little bit to do with nature. I like that. I just like poems that have to do with nature, and I like the way she writes it, with a little bit of repetitive, like, you do not, starting the sentence, then you do not, then tell me, and then meanwhile, and then meanwhile. Well, I don't know, I just like the way that the
repetition adds, like, a rhythm.
Yeah. And it makes it seem more meaningful, so.
I think it flows in a very interesting way. It's very,
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't do short stops.
No.
Hi,
Yeah, welcome, Antonia. Antonia has just joined us in the studio. Who would you like to read a book? Or
a poem.
Yeah, I think that'd take a little more than a half hour.
Sure, I'll read a book.
Well, depending on the book.
What?
I said depending on the book.
Yeah, it depends on the book.
Some books you can read in a half hour.
So, Emily, do you want to do yours first?
You want me to do mine first?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine's kind of a song, but I don't usually sing on the radio. But I will try. I sang this to my cat earlier when I was reading through the poems. Okay. It's called Rockabye, and it's by Shel Silverstein.
I love Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
I'll let you pick one out from here, too. Do you want to sing it with me? Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. Don't you know a treetop is no safe place to rock? Who put you up there and your cradle, too? Baby, I think someone down here's got it in for you. There's a cute little baby picture, too. I love Shel Silverstein's illustrations.
Yeah,
they're funny. So apologies to listeners for having to hear me sing. It'll never happen again. So you have another Shel Silverstein one?
Yeah, this one is almost a tongue twister, so I may have to do it twice so you can understand what I'm trying to say. It's called The Toucan. Tell me who can catch a toucan. Lou can. Just how few can ride the toucan. Toucan. What kind of goo can stick you into the toucan? Glue can. Who can write some more about the toucan? You can.
That's a cool poem. I like
so
that.
I hope you write more about the toucan.
I would like to hear you try to read that one fast.
Fast, but yes. You wouldn't understand what I was saying.
I still think it would be fun to hear.
Okay, I'll try. Tell me who can catch a toucan. Lou can. Just how few can ride the toucan. Toucan. What kind of glue can stick you to the toucan? Glue can. Who can write some more about the toucan? You can.
That's awesome.
Yay.
If you find some way to contact us, though, that'd be really cool if you could send in toucan poems. That'd be awesome.
Yay.
What else can you rhyme with toucan?
Yeah.
Blue tan. That's what happens when you stay out in the side sun too long. And you are, what color?
Purple.
Green?
Purple.
I don't know.
Okay. Purple. Oh, it would be blue. Well, wait, no.
Maybe when you're a light blue, you become a dark blue.
Yeah.
Mm. Or maybe if you're already green. I mean, if you're already if you're already blue and then the sun is yellow, then you turn green. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or what about red?
Oh yeah, I think that's blue and you can't turn red. Blue and red is purple.
Yeah.
So you could be already blue and the sun could be red and you could turn purple.
What if you turned so purple it turned blue?
That's
or
a good
blue it turned purple.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
How did you get from toucans to what color you would change from tanning on the beach?
I was rhyming toucan with blue tan.
Blue can?
Blue tan.
Yeah, but blue can, too.
Blue can get a toucan. I mean, blue can get,
Yeah, we're getting sad.
I don't know.
Do you want to hear a quick poem of Shel Silverstein's, read by Shel Silverstein?
Sure.
Before we read some more? Okay. So this one is called Sick.
I love that poem so much.
I cannot go to school today, said little Peggy Ann McKay. I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet. My throat is dry. I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks. I've counted 16 chicken pox, and there's one more. That's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut. My eyes are blue. It might be instamatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke. I'm My left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin. My belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched. My ankle sprained. My appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold. My toes are numb. I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff. My spine is weak. I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth. I think my hair is falling out. My elbows bent. My spine ain't straight. My temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk. I cannot hear. There's a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail. And my heart is...
What? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday? Goodbye. I'm going out to play.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Every yes. time.
Every time. I remember that poem from when I was a kid. That was always a favorite, Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
Mine too.
And I love the way he reads it.
I
it's like
too.
Slightly creepy.
Yeah.
But in a nice way.
Yeah, he's an interesting yeah. voice.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, like his poems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do Antonia, do you want to read a poem?
Well, I brought a book of poems by Christina Rossetti. It's called Goblin Market and Other Poems. And the first poem is Goblin Market, but it's way too long to read. I read it all aloud last night. It took me like half an hour. Mm-hmm. But I have a favorite part of it, and I will read that. So it starts, swift fire spread through her veins, knocked her heart, met the fire smoldering there and overbore its lesser flame. She gorged on bitterness without a name. Ah, fool, to choose such part of soul-consuming care. Sense failed in the mortal strife, like a watchtower of a town. With an earthquake shatters down, like a lightning-stricken mast, like a wind-uprooted tree spun about, like a foam-topped waterspout cast down headlong in the sea, she fell at last, pleasure past and anguish past. Is it death or is it life?
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's a cool poem, but it's really long, so I can't read it.
Could it be turned into some kind of, like, song or something?
Sounds maybe. Like I think all poems can be turned into songs. Except that'd be a very long song.
Yeah, it would.
Well, not because of that little part,
we'll
but like the whole
thing.
Sing
it to
us
next week. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, I won't, but you can think about it.
Okay. I'll imagine that in my
yeah.
head. And so is that for the whole poem? Does it tell a story of some sort? Or?
Yeah, it tells a story. It's about a girl. One's named Lisa and the other's Lizzie, I think. And, there's goblins that sell fruit, and you eat the fruits, well, you're not supposed to, they're evil goblins, and if you eat the fruits, you will always be craving them, but you can never see or hear the goblins anymore once you've had, like, one of their fruits, and so then you'll wither up and turn gray and die, and it's really sad, but it's about this girl who is tempted to eat them, and then she eats them, and then her sister saves her because... Well, she gets more of the fruits from the goblins to bring to her sister. And it's happy. And then it's kind of strange. The whole thing's like that. And then at the last part, it's just like a nice little rhyme about sisters. It's really weird.
That's a cool idea, though. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all poems have cool ideas, actually.
Yeah, most.
Most yeah. of them. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them do.
I like the idea of poems. I like poems. They're cool.
Yeah, just the idea of poems is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wrote some poems when I was 6 that were not very good.
When you were 6?
I was going to bring some in to share, but I forgot. But I was so obsessed with things rhyming, because that's what I thought poems were, that I didn't worry about them making any sense or having any message. So it was just like any word I could think of that rhymed with my main word ended up in the poem.
That's yeah. awesome.
I have a whole book of poems I made when I was younger. They're just all a bunch of random rhyming words, but...
My poems, I don't know. I don't rhyme my poems. I can't find ways to rhyme it, and they just don't sound good to me when I try and do it.
Yeah, I can't do rhyming poems. I have to do other kinds.
Yeah, I do freelance, sort of, whatever you call it. Free word. Free verse, yeah. Well, I brought more poems. I actually have 7 poems, so I'll read 2 more.
Okay.
And this one is one of my favorites. It's called The Dog by Ogden Nash. The Dog. The truth I do not stretch or shove when I state the dog is full of love. I've also proved by actual test a wet dog is the lovingest. I just love that because it's very true. It is very true.
Yeah.
And then there's this other poem called The Germ and has this very funny picture of a girl holding her head, looking very surprised, and an evil creature, hairy-ish, and that has a forked tongue and sharp teeth in her imagination.
Yeah. And for those listening who can't see this book, it's called Custard and Company.
Custard and Company, by poems by Ogden Nash, and selected and illustrated by Quentin Blake. I love his illustrations.
Yeah, he's the one that does a lot of illustrations for Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to picture what this illustration looks like, picture Roald Dahl style illustrations.
I've always loved these illustrations, the way he does it. It's just really cool. The Germ. A mighty creature is the germ, though smaller than the pachyderm. His customary dwelling place is deep within the human race. His childish pride he often pleases by giving people strange diseases. Do you, my poppet, feel infirm? You probably contain a germ. I just thought that was funny.
That's a funny poem.
It reminds me of Roald Dahl.
I have a funny one about manners also. That probably you'd get germs from doing it. Her mama said, don't eat with your fingers. Okay, said Ridiculous Rose. So she ate with her toes.
That's funny.
I love that poem. It's really funny.
I like eating with my fingers.
Me too.
I've never eaten with my toes.
Me neither.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
I don't think I want to, though.
Yeah.
Like, considering my toes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a fork, at least. Or a spoon.
Yeah. Still, it'd be sort of hard to grip.
Well, you could make some kind of pad.
Yeah, I guess so.
You'd have to be pretty flexible, too.
Yeah, you'd have to have flexible toes. Mm-hmm.
Or flexible legs.
Yeah.
So you have to get your
Because you have to get your foot up to your mouth, yeah.
Unless you've got the food in your toes and then laid down on the floor and just dropped it from up high. With over your head.
Yeah.
That could work.
Maybe. Yeah, but that would work.
Maybe I'll try that later. But probably not.
Yeah. My cat, my dog would eat it.
Well, I have a poem that's not, it's not a funny one. It's not a sad one necessarily either, but
it's just, no.
It's not Shel Silverstein. This is actually, it's by Margaret Atwood, and it's called You Begin. You begin this way, this is your hand, this is your eye, that is a fish, blue and flat, on the paper, almost the shape of an eye. This is your mouth, this is an O or a moon, whichever you like, this is yellow. Outside the window is the rain, green because it is summer, and beyond that the trees and then the world, which is round and has only the colors of these nine crayons. This is the world, which is fuller and more difficult to learn than I have said. You are right to smudge it that way with the red and then the orange. The world burns. Once you have learned these words, you will learn that there are more words than you can ever learn. The word hand floats above your hand like a small cloud over a lake. The word hand anchors your hand to this table. Your hand is a warm stone I hold between two words. This is your hand. These are my hands. This is the world, which is round but not flat and has many colors than we can see. It has more colors than we can see. It begins. It has an end. This is what you will come back to. This is your hand.
That's a really good poem. I love that.
I like that.
What is it called again?
It's called You Begin.
Wow, nice.
That's nice.
I like that. What's the author? Margaret?
Margaret Atwood.
Margaret Atwood.
She also writes novels for adults that are fairly popular.
That's nice.
And so I didn't know that she wrote poems until I was doing a video poem workshop for adults once, and we had to pick out a poem to use as an example to work with the adults on making a video poem, and somehow we came across this one and decided to use it.
I like that. It has a good meaning. Like, I like deep poems. I don't know. I just do. They're like really funny, cute ones or deep ones.
Yeah, so that's a really nice poem. I like it a lot.
Moving on. Does anyone have any other ones they want to share, or should we do some random readings?
Well, I have one more.
Okay.
And I've got like four more.
Yeah. I have one about eating meat, I think.
This one's also Shel Silverstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which book is this one that you're reading from?
It's Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. Thanksgiving dinner, sad and thankless. Christmas dinners, dark and blue. When you stop and try to see it, from the turkey's point of view, Sunday dinner isn't sunny. Easter feats are just bad luck. When you see it from the viewpoint of a chicken or a duck. Oh, how I once loved tuna salad, pork and lobsters, lamb chops too, till I stopped and looked at dinner from the dinner's point of view. It's called Point of View.
I'm sort of a vegetarian. I only eat a little bit of meat, so good for the author. It's a good thing.
I wonder if he's a vegetarian.
Maybe he's a... Maybe he just is upset when he eats.
Yeah.
Who knows? He thinks about their point of view. It reminds me of the book Babe, or the movie Babe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the duck is talking about how Christmas is murder and Christmas is awful because it's when the duck gets eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor duckies. I feel I love chickens, and I feel sorry for them, so I don't eat them.
Oh. Or how in the E.B. White Charlotte's Web, it's all about spring pig.
Yeah, poor guys. Well, I brought another poem. Well, I brought four more to be exact, but here's one of the other four. And it's called Bat by X.J. Kennedy. Wonder that what that stands for. All day, bats drowse in houses' eaves, like tents collapsed for storage. But when dusk darkens like fall leaves, they loosen, then they forage. For juicy June bugs, meaty moths, mosquitoes eaten rare. They're scary, but there's nothing like a bat to clear the air. I just thought that was cute. Because it's true.
Yeah, they eat mosquitoes.
Yeah, like how animals are misjudged. Yeah. Like spiders, people don't like spiders, but they really help with...
Yeah.
I like your bookmark. WGXC on the air bookmark.
Yep. Does anybody else have any other poems that they want to read, or should I read my other three?
I have a poem. I don't remember who it's by, but it's called Fire and Ice. I had to learn it for school.
Oh!
And I really liked it.
I love that poem. It's by Robert Frost.
Yeah, by Robert Frost. Fire and Ice, and it goes... Some say the world will end in ice, some say in fire. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if I had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction ice is also great and would suffice.
I love that poem. That's like my favorite poem by him. It's just really good.
Yeah.
Robert Frost is really good.
Yeah.
His nature poems I like.
I have a Robert Frost poem, too.
You do?
Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's also a short one, but I don't have it memorized like Antonia does. That was very impressive. This one's called Nothing Gold Can Stay. And it's nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay.
That's cool.
I like that one too.
I first heard this poem watching the movie The Outsiders, which is based on the book The Outsiders that the poem is also in. And there's a really nice song by Stevie Wonder that I'll play later as we're going out for the end of the show. That's sort of based around that poem.
This is my other poem. It's by Bobby Katz, who's a local author. Like, she goes to my church. Oh. And she wrote a book about poems of exploration. It's called Trailblazers. And this poem is called Why Explore? Think of oceans. Think of rivers. Think of spices. Think of space. Think of greed for gold and glory, or the lure of a new place. Think of longing for adventure. Think of yearning to learn more. Think what beckons. Think what's saying. Go explore.
I just thought that was a cute poem. And then the whole poem is about, like, explorers. And, like, it says, Sacagawea, the Lewis and Clark Expedition, and she puts the history into poems. It's really cool. I started reading, like, I got halfway through. I liked it a lot, so, but couldn't read all of the poems, so mm-hmm. I just chose one.
That's very nice. So that's by a local poet?
Yep. Her name is Bobby Katz. I think she lives in Kingston, but I'm not sure. Well, actually, no, I'm not. Does she? No, I don't know.
Seize upon the moment long ago, one breath away, and there you will be, so young and carefree. That place in time, so gold. Still away into that way back when you thought that all would last forever, but like the weather, nothing can ever be in time, stay gold. But can it be when we can see so vividly a memory? And yes, you say. Yet filled with sorrow and compassion, though not imagined, all things that have